Today on Off Mic, it's Pride Month. We take a look back at the struggle gay people face for the right to marry across the nation and here in Indiana. We talk to one local gay man on acceptance in Northwest Indiana and the future of the LGBTQIA movement. And now that wedding receptions are back in full swing, what's the hot music and classics that are sure to get folks on the dance floor? We talk to one local wedding DJ to give us a scoop. All this on Off Mic. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio, serving Northwest Indiana. I'm your host, Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ Chicago. We're in the middle of Pride Month. This is a time when members of the LGBTQIA can celebrate their way of life, their heritage, their struggle. And it's been a struggle in terms of the right to marry. Right now, I'd like to play for you a feature I did back in 2014 when gay marriage was just approved in the United States and in Indiana. This originally aired on WBEZ in Chicago.
Beginning today, several same-sex couples are expected to tie the knot in Indiana. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday refused to hear appeals to overturn bans on same-sex marriage, and so this means gay marriage is effectively legal in five additional states, including Indiana. A lot of people are jubilant, others not so much. From our bureau in Northwest Indiana, WBEZ's Michael Puente reports.
Kelly Dooley says it doesn't take much for he and his friends to celebrate, but on Monday night, Dooley raised his glass for a toast at a restaurant in Crown Point, Indiana.
Congratulations on the court ruling from the Supreme Court, and that now we have the right to choose whether you want to get married or not, which is awesome.
You can marry who you love.
And here comes Donald's plans.
Cheers!
Dooley and about a dozen friends celebrated the U.S. Supreme Court's inaction, which nullifies Indiana's ban on same-sex marriage. Although Dooley got married 8 years ago in Canada, his marriage to his husband Matthew wasn't recognized by Indiana until now.
This is a great day. I mean, we're very, very, very happy here at this group.
Dooley's friend Jacqueline Castro joined the celebration.
Never saw it coming. Never in my wildest dreams did I think this would happen. No. Not in Indiana.
Castro's been with her partner, Nancy, for more than 20 years. She married in late June when a federal judge initially nixed Indiana's same-sex marriage ban. That ruling was appealed by the state of Indiana, and her marriage and that of hundreds of other same-sex couples was put on hold. That hold was dropped once the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday refused to hear Indiana's case and similar ones filed by Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Utah, and Virginia. This makes same-sex marriage legal in 30 states and the District of Columbia. Castro says the ruling brings a sense of security for her and her wife.
Now, no matter what happens to me, my partner will be secure in her future and vice versa. And it's no different than anybody else.
But not everyone is celebrating the decision. Just up the street at a coffee shop, Kent Lane says he can't and won't support it.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Not at all.
Can you tell me why?
It just should be between a man and a woman. It's wrong in the Bible. It's wrong, period. Like you say, you go way back when they used to say, well, it was Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam and Steve.
Lane isn't alone. Dr. Ron Johnson is a local minister and head of the Indiana Pastors Alliance.
I think what this is a sign of is the deep moral darkness that our nation is in right now, that we can't figure out something as commonsensical as the fact that marriage should be between a man and a woman who can have children.
Johnson is also miffed that the court nullified the will of most Hoosiers who supported the state's definition of marriage.
So I just get deeply concerned when we have judges that think they know better than the millions of Hoosiers who already weighed in on the situation or who should be given the opportunity to weigh in on a situation.
Back at the celebration, Kelly Dooley knows not everyone will be happy with the ruling.
It's not going to flip overnight, and it's going to be a long time. But again, I've said it once before, and I'll say it again. Had I ever been asked 20 years ago that this would be like this, now I would have said no.
Meanwhile, county clerk offices throughout Indiana are gearing up for what could be a busy day. There is no waiting period, as judges can perform marriage ceremonies today.
So that was the piece from 2014 on WBEZ, our partner here for Lakeshore Public Radio. And in studio is the one of the subjects of that piece, Kelly Dooley of Crown Point, Indiana. Kelly, welcome to Off Mic.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I think this is the first time I've had you. I've had you in other stories. I've known you for such a long time. And even when I hosted a TV show here at Lakeshore Public Radio, Lakeshore PBS, you were a guest on there. So now you're back. And hearing that feature from so long ago where you were celebrating, and also there was, can you believe it's been now, we're going on almost 8 years on that now.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just meeting with a group on Friday in Michigan City in which we were talking about how much had changed since then, even past that decision. So it was just kind of old news for us in the gay community, which is kind of nice. I mean, we're still celebrating that fact, but it's nice to be able to have that discussion about here we are and we're moving forward.
Right. And, you know, obviously we have Kelly Dooley in studio. It's June. It's Pride Month. So we wanted to talk about some of the issues. You know, it is a little odd. But in that piece, you did hear some negative comments about gay marriage and the attitudes back then. And maybe still now people are still maybe still not accepting of it. But before we get to that, it is a little odd for me to sit here and talk to you about Pride Month because, you know, I guess it's similar to you have Hispanic Heritage Month, you got African American Black History Month in February. So you're talking about things that, you know, it's cool to celebrate it. How do you feel about Pride Month?
You know, Michael, I have to say that as a community and myself personally, I think Pride Month for us is just celebrating the things that have happened that have brought us to this point where you can have open dialogue and conversation about relationships and the people that you love and family members that you love and that whole cycle where we're living life to our fullest right now. And that's awesome. That is really awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really to celebrate, here in Indiana too. It took a long time. Indiana did not, technically never really accepted gay marriage until the federal court stepped in and decided not to hear a certain case, which then, you know, nullified that lawsuit and all intents and purposes, legalized gay marriage in all 50 states, and how is it now? Do you feel that attitudes have changed even in corridors that you may not have ever expected? Or are there still some areas that, it's still a touchy subject?
I think it's a touchy subject for some people. I would probably say more importantly, as I did before, that this isn't really about everybody else. It's about the right to choose to be married or not. But I can tell you this, since that ruling, I can tell you the dialogue for having an open dialogue about what's it like to be a LGBT person or what's it like to be married or have that option to be married. The dialogue is so much more open and free flowing. And those people that were borderline on the idea of being a little bit conservative on that point are getting to the point where they're like, maybe it wasn't such a big deal for me. Now, that's not going to be true for everybody, but what really is true for everybody in that regard? And I would have to go back to science on that. I mean, mathematics, everything is true. But when it comes to feelings and emotions of the heart, the idea that everybody's going to agree on everything is just too far-fetched.
Right, right. Just maybe in your own sort of life and people that you're around, have you seen attitudes change even among people that, wow, I didn't think he would come around on that or that person?
I'm going to tell you about a very specific story. When I came out in business, finally, I help a lot of people in business, in the business community in Northwest Indiana, specifically a small business that was trying to get started. And I already knew that they were pretty conservative as a family unit, which is fine for me because for me, that's different than doing business. And one day I decided that after being confronted about kids and wives, I just says, I don't have a wife. I have a boyfriend or a husband or something of that nature. And the whole attitude changed and I didn't understand it at the time. And I didn't understand what the feedback was as far as now you know I'm gay and now you have a problem. But the end story on that is just a couple of years later, she came back to me and apologized and said that she understood better what I was feeling like and the things I was doing positively. Subsequently, she let me know that her son had come out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why it's so odd to hear people who are just staunchly opposed to the gay lifestyle or anything that isn't opposite gender love, in that you never know who in your family or close to you is going to be gay. It's just like you don't know who may be born with brown eyes or who may be left-handed or, God forbid, grow up to be a Cubs fan. But it's you know, when you hear people who are so staunchly opposed to it, it almost seems like they're hiding something in their life.
I would agree with you on that to a degree. I think that they're either hiding something in their lives or possibly feeling bad about something that they had done in their past, and that's kind of caught up with them with all the turn of events that have happened in regards to the LGBT community. For myself personally, opening dialogue anytime that we can just to educate others without having a conflict-fighting type of argument about it. But sitting down and having that discussion, it does change minds. Now, you'll get this feeling that some people want to change minds on a scale of hundreds or thousands around them, but everybody makes a difference. If you can talk to two people this month alone about how to be more accepting about the situations that they live in, they end up becoming better people in the end. And that's the thing we have to focus on, really.
Right, right. And you still hear of situations where, well, just in terms of gay marriage, and which really it's just marriage now, but do you ever feel that with political winds as they are and, more conservatives might come into office, that right to be able to choose and love who you want and marry who you want is always still threatened?
At this point, Michael, I will say personally for myself, I don't feel threatened by it anymore. We've gone way too far. We just came through an administration in which they were making changes. Those have already been reverted back, but it was only within the power in which they could make those changes. As a society, I think we're moving on beyond the idea of we're going to contradict this whole mandate that was not taken up by the Supreme Court. So that means it's law. So we all have to come to an agreement that we're going to have to accept it to some degree.
Okay, can I put you on the spot? Just having a little fun here, and I don't mean to insult anybody here.
Oh, boy.
Do you know all the terms of LGBTQIA stand for?
Okay, I'm going to be honest from my point of view, and I've had this discussion. I do not know all of them. I'm just getting to the LGBT aspect of it, but I am not an old person, but I am an older man from another generation. I mean, just when I was coming out, we were just coming out of the AIDS epidemic.
Right.
Not that we're out of it, but the crisis that nobody knew it existed. And I can tell you from a business meeting that we had with a hospital, they were talking about COVID and stuff, and the whole idea of a pandemic for a hospital, even though we had to go through the PPE problem, was that this isn't our first pandemic, even though they still don't call it a pandemic. HIV was actually the first pandemic that we've dealt with in some time.
Right. That's right. That's right. Well, the acronym now has expanded from LGBTQ to LGBTQIA, which means lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and or questioning, intersex, and asexual, and or ally. So, you know, it is kind of generational where you grow up thinking of LGBT and then it expands. How do you feel with more letters being added to that and just more definitions and more situations?
It's interesting that when you, like I said, I have a lot of conversations with people, you see the perspective change. Like for me, it was gay and lesbian people, and then it's LGBT. Okay, I could grab onto that, but all the extensions I don't understand, and not that I'm against it, it's just I don't understand it. Now, luckily, I've been getting some education from my friends about some of the acronyms that are coming out with this. I'm in support of it, but at one point, do we just crunch it all down and say all-inclusive group of people that support, you know, who we are and what we are? Maybe. I don't know. That seems like it's going to be a larger discussion and larger than my knowledge right now and experience.
All right. How does Kelly Dooley celebrate Pride Month?
Oh, my gosh, Michael. We kicked off on June 1st. Everybody's posting on social media about June 1st, Pride Month. We were all kicking it off. Harbor County, Michigan just had a countywide Pride event last week, which was pretty spectacular. They had different things going on in different towns, so you got to explore the area at the same time. Everybody was so friendly. I rode my motorcycle up there with another friend, and we just checked out the area as a whole. We have Michigan City, Welcome to the Other Side drag at the Uptown Center just on Friday, which was a huge turnout. It's the first event they've had in probably about 2 years. Okay, so they went on some break before COVID and they had to cancel things. Personally, myself, I want to explore myself further as far as going and doing different things. So that Harbor County thing was a whole new thing for me this year. I'm actually going to the Grant Park Pride in the Park. Just got a ticket for me and my partner. We're going up to go see Chaka Khan in concert, which is anybody who knows me knows like she's like a root soul music for me, and especially when she came up big through the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's big. She's really big. Are you finding that that some Pride events are, I mean, not that you can tell that, you know, who's straight and who's gay, but maybe just that there appears to be more straight people just coming to these events because they're a lot of fun.
I think they're a lot of fun. I think that, you know, if you talk to like somebody's nieces or nephews or somebody in their 17s, there's really a point in which they're like, I don't know why we're having a discussion about this. So you see a lot more of that group going. Here's a little known fact about me, and not anymore. However, I've never been to a Pride parade. It is just way, way too many people for me. So I was really excited about this Grant Park idea. I think there'll be a lot of people there, but we're not going to be crushed in on a street where, I don't know. I've heard it described. I can't even imagine trying to do that. I also know the Indianapolis Pride Parade had really taken off in the last couple of years pre-COVID, and more people are going there because it's too crowded in larger cities. So that's a big win for Indiana, really.
Right, right, right. Let me ask you this, and I don't hate to get too personal, but do you still hear of people, maybe friends or relatives that that confide in you and say, you know, Kelly, I got a son or a daughter or a cousin or a friend who just, you know, they're thinking about coming out and they're nervous about it, and what advice can you give them, or what would you tell to a parent who's kid maybe coming out, not know how to react to it. Are you? Do people lean on you for advice?
Actually, thank you for asking that so much. I have several business friends that became friends, and a couple of them have asked me to sit down with younger family members to talk about this. And they're usually cousins or nephews or nieces or something of that matter. And that's when it really became relevant to me that it's not a big deal to, say, two generations down from where I'm at, because I'm a Gen Xer. So two generations down, they just don't really care. And so ultimately it comes down when we get those conversations and I tell aunts, uncles, moms, dads, whoever I can, make sure that they have a point of contact, make sure they have your phone number, and make sure they know it's okay to call you 24/7. Because we can all talk about the suicide rate in the LGBT community, but if you're not available to help them, that's where the suicides happen. So I'm not an expert on that, but anybody who has my number knows they can call me whenever they need to if they're in a crisis.
Why is it so high? Is it just because kids or people still feel like they have to bottle it up, they have to hide it? We're in 2021 where it seems like everything's out there, but for a lot of people, it is still a struggle.
It is a struggle. I think that when you're talking about suicide rates and LGBT, coming out is still difficult. It may not be a difficult conversation to have, but it's a difficult one to get started. That whole idea of saying I'm gay lets you, I guess it makes you feel like you're exposing a core root within your body or your emotions. So you're letting people know that you're gay and it's very personal to you. But when you get to talking about it and you're around supportive people, you can have that conversation and then find out it's more freeing than anything else.
And do people's attitudes change? Do they just may perhaps, I mean, not that you can, you know, deal with it or have, it's not your issue to deal with, but do you think people worry about how a friend or a parent or a loved one may now see them or treat them?
So what I'm hearing is that you're talking about how people are responding to somebody who's gay. I think anybody will tell you my biggest phrase is take the high road. Mm-hmm. Always take the high road. Always support the people. If you want to circle back to my conversation about the conservative family whose son that came out, I was put there to meet them, to help them through that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't relevant at the time. And it made me angry a little bit. But when that came back around 2 years later, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you never know who you're going to help modify, not change. I'm not asking people to change, but I want them to open their minds to the idea that there are other things going on in life besides the five people that are surrounding you right now.
Right. That's right. And do you think we're going to ever get to a time when Pride Month is not necessarily it's always going to be needed because you want to celebrate. It's a lifestyle now, but it's also is it like a heritage or is it like let me ask you that. How do you see it evolving with the years to come?
Well, we got to look at it. I mean, Pride Month wasn't a thing not too many years ago. It was actually like maybe a day or a weekend or something, and now we're celebrating the whole month. And some people might think that's too much, but honestly, the things that we've overcome, if you go back to the past episodes and listen, the idea of getting married to me in the 90s or even in the 2000s, I never would have thought it would have happened. So yes, it is something that should be celebrated. Is it going to continue to be what it is now? Absolutely not. I mean, we're already seeing the changes of expanding, not from major cities like Chicago, let's say. We're now seeing it in Southwest Michigan in a whole county. Now, that's a completely different pride than I would have thought of just 10 years ago. So there's a lot of progress on that. I think it's going to further evolve into something much bigger and with more people being more grateful about, you know, not just being gay or lesbian, transgender or what have you, but the support of people. And we have to acknowledge the support of family members and friends of our community. It is a huge portion of what has moved us this far.
So we talked a little bit about Chicago. We talked a little bit about Southwest Michigan. How is the acceptance level here in Northwest Indiana?
I think I think it's more progressive than maybe the rest of the state of Indiana, with the exception of probably Indianapolis, and that's my personal opinion. I think that there's progress. In fact, I was talking about doing this interview, and they were asking me at work different questions about, like, where are you? What happened? And I'm still educating people on gay marriage because they don't understand how it happened or why it is or why it's a big deal. And again, it comes down to choice. I think there's a huge, as far as Northwest Indiana is concerned, I mean, seriously, we're having drag shows in almost three or four counties in Northwest Indiana at bars you would have never thought would have one. And that's pretty important when even I say, really, you're going to do it in that town? Okay, well, we're coming out to support you.
Do you think younger people who are coming out, 16, 17, 18, whatever, they don't have a full appreciation? I mean, it's hard for young people to think past a week ago in general, but the struggle that it took to legalize gay marriage and just for to still build that comfort level, do you feel like they don't appreciate it, or it's getting lost, that it's just, it's always been this way? It's always been great or accepting as it is now. Do you think they're missing that history?
So this is how I know I've known you for so long. You're like pushing every one of my buttons right now. I would say for me, as a Gen Xer of 52, I would say that to some degree it makes me upset that the younger generation has all these rights and abilities or freedoms, but don't understand what it came from and what the struggles were. And then we can have those conversations about it. But the fact of the matter is, isn't that what we've been fighting for the entire time, is just to be accepted and live my life? I mean, that's really what it's been about. I can be upset about it, but that's me. I don't put that emotion on somebody else.
That's right. So where is a Kelly Dooley going to be at this weekend or in a couple of weeks, where there's going to be a lot of music and a lot of fun?
Well, I already had a lot of fun this so far, and we're just into the month. I'm really focused on the end of the month. I am really looking forward to going and spending some time in Chicago for Pride this year. Again, I've not done it in the past. I love the idea that it's in Grant Park. They're also doing the parade. So you get a venue for different people, and I am super excited about doing that, and I believe that's on the 26th and 27th at the end of this month.
Great. Well, for you, Kelly Dooley, little Chaka Khan.
Oh, all my buttons, Michael. I love this girl. She's awesome.
Well, congratulations for Pride Month. I'm glad you're here on Off Mic. And thanks for just being always a good friend and a good interview.
Yeah, thank you so much. And if you ever need anything or you want to have an open discussion, you know you ought to get a hold of me. Thank you.
Great. Well, we'll be back with more Off Mic. And I could take you for a ride. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Well, that is Dua Lipa with Levitating. For me, that song makes me want to dance. And dancing is what a lot of folks will be doing now that wedding receptions are kicking into high gear. Again, with society reemerging from the pandemic, here to talk to me about the hot songs for wedding receptions these days is wedding DJ Mike Bonaventura. Welcome to Off Mic, Mike.
Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, Mike. Mike is also a radio DJ or wedding DJ with Trans Audio of Crown Point and on-air personality with Z107.1 FM, the playlist here in Northwest Indiana. So he knows the hot music. So, Mike, right now, how are like weddings right now? Is it starting to heat up? Wedding receptions.
They're so fun because people are ready to party. They're just fun, yeah. You know?
You know, when I think of weddings, I think of everything from the wedding singer and especially Wedding Crashers, the movie. I just love that. So, so Mike, right now, if this was a wedding reception, if the bridal party was waiting for us to stop talking, so they got done with the dance and the father-daughter dance and all that stuff, and they were really just to get on their groove, what are you starting the wedding reception off with? What are you doing?
I want friendly music. I want something they know. I want something like an Uptown Funk, Whitney Houston, I want to dance with somebody, things like that. I'll get into the other stuff a little bit later on. But you want it to be friendly, and you want it to appeal to everybody in the crowd right away.
So you're going with Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Definitely.
Here we go.
Yep.
You know, you're right. You know, that probably wouldn't be my first pick, Whitney Houston. But I got to tell you, of all the Whitney Houston songs, that's my favorite. Maybe because it was the first song I heard her singing. But that is such a quintessential pop music dance tune. I think I'm getting out there, Mike.
Mike, it's infectious. Everybody knows the song. When you back it up with something like Uptown Funk, it really gets people in the mood. So you got a little bit of old school with Whitney and something a little newer with Bruno Mars.
Oh, Bruno Mars, he always gets the party started. People, he's such a great performer, singer, dancer. It seems like this guy is always doing something. So let's hear a little bit of a Uptown Funk. Yeah, that really gets you going. Okay, so, you know, what are some of the things that are out there right now that you're just you're hearing a lot of requests for?
Dua Lipa.
All right.
Doja Cat. I'm still getting requests for things like Ying Yang. You know, I'm still getting requests for things like Usher. Those seem to be the things that most people ask for versus a lot of the newer music. Now, newer music, you're looking at Post Malone. He's huge. He's always going to be huge. You know, so something like Jackie Chan with him and Tiesto, that's a great dance number, you know?
Yeah.
So those kinds of songs are the things that we'd be looking for probably from most of the crowd. And dare I say, we're also going to get requests for classic rock and oldies. Songs.
What is the classic party rock song?
So Pour Some Sugar on Me, Def Leppard, still probably one of the number ones. Definitely AC/DC, anything AC/DC, whether it's Thunderstruck, Highway to Hell, You Shook Me All Night Long. Those are the ones that tend to get people just in a party mood on the dance floor.
Okay, let's play a little bit of Pour Some Sugar on Me. Right, Mike, this is getting me going. I got to tell you, though, at this point of the wedding reception, you got to think either, okay, the wedding party is already doing their thing, but is this the song, Pour Some Sugar on Me? You're starting to see maybe the mother-in-law doing inappropriate things on the dance floor, or
all
the cousins,
the time.
Or the grandmas.
All the time, yeah. I've seen so much over my 38-year career as a wedding DJ that it's unbelievable. But no, you're right. Those are the songs. And what you want to do is you want to keep people in the mood as long as you possibly can, you know? And it's just, it's a fun thing to get out there and party with people and have a good time and play loud music. Who doesn't like that?
To drag it down a little bit, but wedding DJ, people probably just think the music starts and that's, you're there like setting up for 5 minutes. What is your day like preparing to do a reception?
Well, typically I leave the house at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Sometimes I have to go pick up gear.
2 o'clock, so for something that's going to start like at 6-ish?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm leaving pretty early. I think most guys tend to leave about that time. It depends on your setup. It depends where you're at. You know, if you're at a banquet hall that really is accessible to the street or to the parking lot, you know, you might not necessarily have to leave at 2 o'clock. It depends on the proximity to my house, too. But, you know, it depends on the load in and what you have, what you carry, and what you want to do. If you're doing a ceremony with music and microphones and stuff, typically then 2 o'clock is definitely what time I would leave.
Wow. And then, so then, how much time does it take to set up and what are you lugging around? Is it a lot of work?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah, people would be really surprised at how much work it is because you've got a lot of gear. You know, now, quite honestly, from the days of the 80s to what we carry now, it is different. It's much lighter, but you have more stuff to carry.
Are you doing, like, is it mostly digital music now or still CDs?
Oh, it's all on iMac.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All on iMac. It's software-based. It's fantastic. And if you use different versions of software, have different attributes to them. So, like, for instance, with the Serato software that I use, I also use Tidal streaming in that software so that I literally have thousands of songs at my fingertips.
So, okay, you know, for people who have never DJed a wedding reception, we all have our favorite music to play, but the wedding reception isn't for you personally, it's for the bride and groom and their friends.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How do you balance with the things you want to hear and play to for what they want?
They get a playlist. They can make it out if they want. If they don't, that's okay too. You know, I can take requests the night of. I'm pretty cool with that most of the time because it gets me involved with the crowd, you know, and people generally do like that. But that's how it works. You kind of build off of that early in the night, you know. As you get into the 10:30, 11 o'clock hour before it's over, you pretty much have a really good handle on what it is they want for that remaining 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Do you ever get something like an obscure request and you say, nah, I haven't even heard that yet. I'm not even sure if I should play it.
Yeah, oh yeah, that happened to me last week. I can't tell you what the song was, but I'll say this, that it was a fairly dirty song. And, you know, one of the guys came up and asked for it, and he was right. It was late at night. I'll play it. And I had all adults on the dance floor, so I did. It was fun.
Well, some of the things, some of the lyrics out there, even for the more popular dance tunes, may have some explicit lyrics like Up. You got Up over there. People, yeah. All the girls seem to like to dance to that now.
Of course they do.
And it's fun. Let's take a listen to it. Not the Bentley band, take a man, break them back, party back, no high, give it up. If it's up, then it's up, then it's up, then it's stuck. If it's up, then it's up, then it's up, then it's stuck. Hey. Up, then it's up. If it's up, then it's stuck. If it's up, then it's up, then it's up, then it's stuck. Huh. I can make the party hot. I can make your body rock. Haters can do nothing with me. Chances are they probably not. So that's Cardi B. I mean, that song has taken over TikTok. And have you had a chance to play this at a wedding?
Oh, yeah. I played it last weekend. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure did,
really?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I gotta guess the females are just jumping on that dance.
Everybody is.
Yeah?
Everybody
is. Are they trying
to
do all the moves and everything, too?
Yeah. They do it all. It's really funny to watch people sometimes. And I got to admit, I am a people watcher. So I like to do that. I like to kind of just, you know, think, like, what are people going to do with this music? And it's fun. Week to week, you never know.
You know, what kind of personality do you have to be a wedding reception DJ? It just seems like the thing about you, you got already a naturally friendly personality. You've been on the radio. You're a showman. You know entertainment. It isn't just playing the records. You're quite the personality, Mike Bonaventura.
Thank you.
But at the same time, how do you balance? I mean, you must have pushy people. You might have all kind of personalities.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe there's a band there, too.
Uh-huh, yeah.
How do you balance all that?
You just have to go with your instinct quite a bit of the time. You know, you really do. As far as what kind of person is best for a wedding DJ, I'll be flat out honest with you, man. The company that I work for, we've had school teachers, we've had school principals, we've had lawyers. We've run the gamut of every kind of profession that wanted to get involved with it, either for a short time or for, you know, many years. And sometimes it's just because those people either like music, they like people, a combination of, or they want to go out and they just want to have fun.
And so now, is there any songs that you've played, and it might depend on who's there at the wedding, the type of people, whatever, that you play a song that you think is just going to rock and it just falls flat.
And it falls flat. Yeah, that does happen. It's so funny. It's so funny when it does, because usually it's not really something that I would expect to happen. But, you know, it's always in the back of my mind, you know, so you got to move on.
Yeah. Like, or do you have songs where you're playing and somebody says, oh my God, that's so inappropriate. Turn it off.
You know, I don't usually have that happen. It's usually the reverse. People are asking for music that's a little more inappropriate. and you know, sometimes you have to tell them no, because maybe you've got little kids on the dance floor.
Ah, right.
You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not really so worried about grandma.
The priest still might be there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's happened too. Preacher. Sometimes the priest is dancing on the floor, you know.
So, okay. So, all right. So, what is the song? Look, we're just having fun here, not trying to insult anybody. What's the song that you find most African Americans getting on the dance floor to? What are they like?
Oh,
what are they?
Yeah.
A lot of them are steppers.
I was going to just tell you. I was going to just say R. Kelly, Step in the Name of Love.
Yeah.
That seems to be the one. Certainly.
That's a good one.
You know, I would say anything that has kind of that real thick R&B beat to it. You know what I mean? So things like that. Again, things like Usher work really well. Neo. That kind of stuff is just fantastic for people that really enjoy R&B.
Step in the name of love. Then I'm gonna.
So yeah, that already makes me want. I feel like stepping right now here in the studio. Watch out, Mike, when I, you know, step on your feet.
I don't think there's any room in here to step.
Okay. Well, one day we're gonna get a bigger studio when we're stepping. So, but okay, then you know, there's so many different ethnic groups and people at. So, what do you got for the Latinos? What are you playing for the Latinos nowadays?
Oh boy, I'll tell you. That just depends on what exactly they want. You know, do they want something that's a little more banda? Do they want something that's a little more tropical? You know, I mean, it just really depends on
reggaeton
what they want.
Reggaeton is very big.
Reggaeton, of course, has been big for a long, long, long time. So Daddy Yankee, for instance, is always a good way to go. Yeah.
Que tú eres mía, mía, tú sabes que eres mía, mía, tú misma lo decías.
Okay, now I gotta ask you this, because if I don't, my kids at home are gonna be like, why didn't you ask this? K-pop is so big right now. Are you playing K-pop, and what's the reaction at these wedding receptions?
It's kind of funny, because some groups know K-pop, some groups don't know K-pop. Now, that said, everybody knows Dynamite by BTS, so that's going to be one that I'm going to throw out there. I think I played it last week, if memory serves. And it was okay. It was an okay reception to it. People will dance to that. I don't know that I've ever had anybody really screaming at me for it, you know, at least not yet anyway, but I guess
I'll
you
tell
never
you
know.
What, if Jessica Puente was already having a wedding reception, she'd be screaming at you.
It would be
more
all
Dynamite,
K-pop.
More black pink and all those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, okay, Mike. So, really, to wrap up this segment, it's been so much fun. I love having you in here. One, because Mike Bonaventura, if you don't remember, Mike has a long history in Northwest Indiana. You might recognize his voice from his days at WJOB. He was on there, but he's on Trans Audio now and Z107.1, The Playlist. He's such a he has so many different talents. So, and such a great guy. What are you? What are we going to wrap up this segment with? What is the jam for the summer?
Do you know what's so funny? I don't know yet because, again, you know, you kind of got to get into the weddings. And remember, we're starting right now. It's not like we had a lot of time because of COVID. We don't. So we're starting right now. So what's the real touch that people want? I'm not really quite sure at the moment what the hot song is, but I'll tell you this. Sweet Caroline always rocks the crowd.
Another song that's pretty hot right now is Bruno Mars' Leave the Door Open. It's not necessarily a dance to, but man, has it got a lot of kick.
Silk Sonic. Those guys are fantastic. Absolutely. I agree. That's a great one.
Okay, Mike, so where can people find you to, I mean, you're probably booked for the rest of the summer and you're all, it always seems to have, but where can people find you if they want advice or whatever?
You know what? Go to Facebook, Mike Bonaventura. Easiest way to go about it. You can just Facebook me anytime. I'm a nice guy. I'll answer your question.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for being here today on Off Mike.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for this episode of Off Mike. You can hear this show again as a podcast by going to lakeshorepublicradio.org. For me, Michael Puente, and all my producers here at Lakeshore Public Radio, have a safe and wonderful weekend.